Okay, so my name is Betty, Len's wife, your transition pastor's wife. And it's good to be able to occasionally come alongside him and do what we used to do together when we were co-pastoring. The message today on the gospel and children, Jesus blessing the children to prepare ourselves in terms of actually receiving the parents and the children up here, as they present their children to God, right, and as they then dedicate them. So, I would think back to when our girls were little. We have two girls and adults, obviously, in their. One just turned 30, one's 32. And I remember a baby card that I received for our first one. So it's got to be good for me to remember it for that long. And it was a Charles Dickens quote of all things. But he says, "I love these little people, and it's not a slight thing when they who are so fresh from God love us." And so do you ever wonder how these children, so small, can give us so much love? We always talk about how much affection they give us, Lord. You know, how is it that they know how to love? How is it that they can give us so much love? And I just remember resonating so deeply with this quote. And just wondering at the love that I felt, not just for them, but from them. So it's a deep mystery that I think can only be connected to their loving creator. So today we have the honor and the privilege to witness and to participate in the parents presenting and dedicating their children to God. And as we look to scripture for examples of that, the one that I want to focus on, of course, is the video of the people bringing their children, presenting them to Jesus. Notice it's not in the temple, you know, it's just a casual, obviously having recognized and honoring who Jesus was. So you can put the slide up, Doug. So as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, in the video, what you would have seen is it would have been his journey onto Jerusalem in the final week of his life. A very significant thing happens on this journey. And once again, Jesus takes advantage of an ordinary cultural and religious opportunity to portray a powerful message of the true kingdom of God. And Jesus said he came to reveal the Father, and he's always demonstrating that. So the Gospels of Mark and Luke record that people were bringing children to him, that he might touch them and bless them, and the disciples rebuked them. Surprising, probably not, his disciples thinking that Jesus had more important things on his mind, and so he tried to stop it, didn't want Jesus to be sidetracked. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, like a little child, will never enter it." And Jesus picked up the children and blessed them. And Matthew quotes Jesus as saying, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." So it's a very heartwarming, sweet story of Jesus giving attention to some dear children because their parents thought it would be a good idea to bring them, right? And so it often seems to be sort of thought of in this more trite way. In fact, I remember picking up a children's Bible and finding out that they hadn't even included this in the children's Bible. I was quite grieved by that. But in it, that in itself, you know, parents wanting to bring their children to Jesus is great. But as always, there's more to the story when we look into the Jewish context. So Jesus was doing something very significant here. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, fathers bless their children, and from Noah blessing Shem and Japheth to Abraham blessing Isaac, Isaac blessing Jacob, and Jacob blessing his sons who became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. So these types of spiritual blessings were very important in the Jewish culture. It was a tradition at the time of Jesus that fathers would bring their children to the local synagogue, where the elders would join the father in a prayer of blessing. The traditional prayer for the child was that they would be famous in the law, the scriptures, faithful in marriage, and abundant in good works. The father would lay his hands on the child's head, and the elders of the synagogue would surround them and bless the child, and it was a special event in the local community. So here's people who are bringing their children to Jesus, which seems to be consistent with this kind of blessing, but not in the synagogue. There's an interesting contrast to be found in this story, as usual, that Jesus touched the children when he blessed them, because that's something that the scribes and the Pharisees didn't do. It was the Father who laid their hand on their heads. They made it a point not to touch people at all because they believed that they would then be defiled, religiously speaking. So here, Jesus is again demonstrating the Father heart of God towards each of his children, no matter what age. And he's pronouncing a blessing, as God frequently promised the righteous in the Old Testament. So on the surface, Jesus blessing the children doesn't seem like that big a deal, just another religious tradition, a cultural thing. But here's what makes this act of Jesus so significant. The end of verse 14 is key. He says, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus would go out of his way to demonstrate his love and even touch those who the religious leaders rejected as belonging in God's kingdom, according to their interpretation of the law. To say that the kingdom of God belonged to children ran smack in the face of religious Judaism of the day. They were convinced that if you didn't somehow earn your way to heaven by doing good works based on their interpretation of the law, then you didn't get to go there. And in their view, children were unable to earn anything because they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. They didn't know the law. So how could Jesus identify someone as part of the kingdom of God who couldn't do anything to earn it? With this seemingly insignificant act of blessing these children, Jesus was communicating a radical new idea that can be summed up in one word: grace. Grace, by definition, a favor that is undeserved. So how wonderful to see him include innocent, biblically uneducated, powerless, vulnerable children who've had no opportunity to attempt to earn his favor. They're simply accepted and loved and blessed as precious little souls in the kingdom. And they're shown as an example to the adults. For all who want to enter the kingdom must become as children, not in attempting to earn their way into the kingdom through powerful religious positions or through the law, but to simply come to Jesus. It's another extravagant demonstration of God's love and grace, unmerited favor. So I'd like to talk a little bit about blessing. And we don't know what blessing Jesus spoke over the children. My thinking is it was probably something very prompted by the Holy Spirit, unique as he saw into each child's life. But the common Jewish blessing given by God to Moses for the priest to pronounce over the Hebrew people daily at the end of the worship was a common one: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace." So when we look at our North American culture, and even in the church, how common is it that we bless, sort of in an intentional way? Maybe at major specific milestones, weddings, perhaps graduation. You may have had some other situations. The most common, when someone sneezes. Bless you, right? So it's an unfortunate omission, even in our Christian culture. So when our own children were dedicated, we were seminary days in Fresno, California. And so we actually did it in a home group, which was very meaningful to us. And then when they turned 13, we did a bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah if it was a boy, bat mitzvah if it was a girl. And just a short Jewish kind of themed blessing and ushering them into their adult lives at age 13. And that was a very meaningful time just with close friends. I was reading this Hebrew author and physician named Rachel Naomi Remen. And she reflects on the importance of imparting blessings in her book called My Grandfather's Blessing. And she describes her weekly Friday visits with him and his careful, faithful attention to her from a very young age. He called her Neshumala, which means beloved little soul. And then after their visit, he would close his eyes and he would talk to God. She says, when Grandpa finished talking to God, he would turn to me and say, come, Neshumala. Then I would stand in front of him, and he would rest his hands lightly on the top of my head. He would begin by thanking God for me, for making him my grandpa. He would specifically mention my struggles during the week and tell God something about me that was true. Each week, I would wait to find out what that was. If I had made mistakes during the week, he would mention my honesty in telling the truth. If I had failed, he would appreciate how hard I had tried. If I had taken even a short nap without my nightlight on, he would celebrate my bravery in sleeping in the dark. Then he would give me his blessing. These few moments were the only time in my week when I felt completely safe and at rest. Once he gave her a paper cup, and he asked her to water it every day. There must have been some dirt in it. And a surprise would happen. At the age of 4, she had no idea what that would look like. So over the weeks, she got weary of watering, and she wanted to stop, but he wouldn't allow her to. After 4 weeks, one morning, she saw 2 little green leaves appeared, and she excitedly showed it to him. She says, I was delighted. And all it needs is water, Grandpa? Gently, he touched me on the top of my head. No, Neshumala, he said, all it needs is your faithfulness. When he passed away, she says, I was afraid that without him to see me and tell God who I was, I might disappear. But slowly over time, I came to understand that in some mysterious way, I had learned to see myself through my grandfather's eyes, and that once blessed, we are always blessed. So a pastor says, we need that sense of blessing. We need it badly. In everyday lives, we need to be reminded that we are not alone, that God is with us in all times and in all places and in all circumstances. And we need to help each other in this, making it easier for one another to experience that blessing. We all need to have that experience of being seen and heard and embraced and accepted for who we are, not for being perfect, not for always measuring up to expectations, but for who we are. And when we do, it's a beautiful thing, a precious thing, a saving thing. And so here today, as parents and grandparents, we're called to faithfulness towards our children as they meet the challenges of their young lives. And so along with meeting their everyday needs, we need to be watering their hearts and souls, teaching and blessing them with the goodness and love of their Heavenly Fathers towards them as they walk out their eternal relationship with Him from a very young age. We're called to place that imprint of God's eternal love on their hearts and in their spirits. And yes, there will be meanderings in their journeys when they may appear to be walking off the path, and we're worried, and we're anxious, and we're grieving. And through those, I remember talking to a friend, a little older and wiser than me at the time, about these times and how to discipline them, how to walk them through this. And she would remind me, just love them with God's unconditional love. And as they are loved and blessed, they are more likely to honor their parents and their Heavenly Father. According to Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I think we can include mothers in that. So to you, parents and grandparents who are following the example of those who brought their little ones to Jesus, presenting your children to the Lord this morning, and to you who are continuing on that path at various stages of your children's lives, May God give you wisdom and grace and empower you, fill you with his love to nurture, carry on in faithfulness, intentionally pronouncing blessing on the beloved little and not so little souls as you launch their lives, as you disciple them onto maturity in the Lord. So Len will now come up and begin the formal dedication part of this.
Okay, so I'm going to call the families. This is the fun part. I'm going to call the families forward one at a time. I guess I'll do three on this side, and we'll do two on this side. So call the first three up, and they can introduce their children. Come up with your grandparents, parents, whoever that family group is that wants to come up. So first of all, Phil and Caitlin Gross on this side, and Richard and Aaron Ratzliff, and Dan and Brittany Baker and family. It doesn't. We'll work at it. It doesn't matter. You want to introduce this one?
This is our son, William Marcus Gross. He's now 6 weeks old, born on September 28th.
And if you do have a verse of scripture to share, you can do that too. Sorry, I forgot about that. No? Okay.
You did?
We sure did.
I forgot my phone over there. Can you grab my phone?
I think we can remember the other one. Okay. So we picked two verses, and they're quite popular, but they're good. So when Jesus replied to Pharisees when they asked him what was the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We wanted two verses that would be simple to convey God's love and his wishes for us to William as he's growing up. So, and then the second one was Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And I think it goes like, trust the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Thank you. Yes, right on. Okay, these ones.
We don't have anything prepared, but this is Lucas Daniel, and he was just turned 3. And this is Haley Evelyn, and she is 11 weeks.
Thank you.
This is Finley Mark Ratzlaff, and he's about 18 months. And we did pick a verse. It's Numbers 6, 24 to 26, which was already mentioned this morning, which is, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you, give you his peace.
Awesome, thanks. So we have two more families coming up. Taylor and Chelsea Gertson, and Tyler and Jackie Jerzak. And you can just find space wherever you want to fit in here. I'll find you.
So this is Cohen Samuel Gertson, and he's 2.5. And this little one, who's not quite awake, is Nora Faye Gertson, and she's 3.5 months.
Where'd you guys go?
This is our oldest, is Luke. And then we have Isaac and Becky. And this is little Zoe.
Awesome. Okay, so this part we're going to do collectively. I'll ask the question and you parents can respond. I guess grandparents can respond too if you want to. Just join in. So Dan and Brittany, Tyler and Jackie, Taylor and Chelsea, Phil and Caitlin, Richard and Aaron, will you make every effort with the help of the Holy Spirit to nurture your children in an atmosphere of love and respect, modeling God's faithfulness? If you will, please answer, we will. Will you communicate to your children the joy of trusting in Jesus for their salvation, now and forever? Finally, will you regularly pray for your children that they will live their lives for Jesus and that God will use them for His glory? Awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Betty's going to lead a congregational response.
I hope we're getting some good pictures here. This is amazing. This is wonderful. So, for the congregational part, we're going to ask you to stand with these families as a show of your support. And then I will read a statement, and I will ask you to respond with, "We will," if you are in agreement. Will you love and care for these parents and their children insofar as you are able, as their family and spiritual community? If so, please respond, "We will." Will you teach these children the way of Jesus and model for them a life of following Jesus? Will you surround these parents in prayer, watching for opportunities to bless and encourage them? Great. Thank you. You may be seated. And Lynn will come and pray.
And this is a good place. We have gifts for all of you. Don't go away. We have gifts for these children. Where's Lynn? She's somewhere else with the kids, right? Dan's going to get her? I'll pray then, and then Lynn will give you... they all get a Bible and a card. Yeah? Okay, so I'll just pray. Great. Thank you, Lord. Father, we dedicate these children in the name of Jesus. May each of them know that God the Father made them and loves them. May they know that His Son, Jesus, died to share with them His life and His forgiveness. Children, may you know the voice of the Holy Spirit who leads and guides into all truth and makes us His witnesses in the world. Faithful God, in faith and hope, we entrust to you these lives. Would you bless them with courage, faith, and hope, and with kingdom purpose? Although they're small in size, make them mighty in spirit, that they will grow stronger as you lead them, teach them, and guide them, fill them. Protect them in moments of danger, reassure them in moments of doubt, strengthen them through every passage in life as they move from childhood to youth and from youth to maturity. Lord, bless each of these children with wisdom and understanding that they may reflect the beauty and wisdom of their Maker. And when they come of age, they confess you as Lord and Savior and bring joy to their families. Lord, we bless these children in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.